You know, I was just thinking before we start, thinking of a particular scripture, and I was just sharing that regarding Pastor Sarah and being directed of the Lord and guided. Thinking of this particular scripture in Ephesians, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. It says, "For we are his workmanship." This is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath prepared," or it says ordained, my margin says prepared, it says, "which God hath ordained that we should walk in them." So he's already ordained or prepared things for us to walk in. And we just need to yield and walk in them. And as we do, we'll be blessed. And when we don't obey, we won't be blessed. That's just the fact of the matter. But I thank God that each one of you, God has created in Christ Jesus. You've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and he's prepared and ordained something for each one of you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That you're not here just to be doing. God saved you, he redeemed you, and he has a purpose in your life to accomplish. He has something to accomplish in and through you that only you can do. No one else. No one else. You are unique, and there's something in your life that he desires to accomplish through you. Praise God. Well, let's turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18. John chapter 3. And we invite you to read together with us in the translation that you have. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. And let's read together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And I'm going to just read Psalm 119, 130. You can listen. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." And I like the Amplified translation. It says, "The entrance," means we've got to let something in. "The entrance of," and it says, "the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple." So it's the entrance and unfolding of God's word that gives light. What do we mean? It's the entrance, and then the Holy Ghost reveals. And as he reveals that to you, step by step, that understanding comes. And, you know, we could use a number of natural examples in that, but it also says that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So as you continue to go down this path, this walk that God has prepared for you, that as you let his word in and you let him reveal it and you walk in the light that he's given you, it's going to continue to be unfolded, and your life, it's going to become brighter and brighter and brighter, as it says, and more unto the perfect day. Praise God. Amen. Well, we've been continuing. This is going to be a continuation. We started off with asking, is it God's will to heal? And I may stay there a little bit today. We're going to add some things today. But it's important to know what the will of God is. You know, you can't appropriate anything from God, I don't care what it is, unless you know what His will is. And we spent some time looking at, just a few moments, what the will of God is concerning healing. If you don't know what the will of God is, I mean, you've got to look first. I believe there's a scripture just coming to mind here in 1 John chapter 5. It says, and this is the what? The confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, what? According to His will, He heareth us. So if you're asking something that's not according to His will, what's the inference? He doesn't hear you. And then it continues and said, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. So it's important, it's of utmost importance to make sure and find out what the will of God is concerning whatever it is you're asking Him for. Because if you're asking Him, you can ask amiss. You could. And people do. And, you know, they come up with all kinds of things. You know, they believe all kinds of things that are not in the Word of God. People believe things that are in songs. People believe things because mama told you or daddy told you or something that you heard in the church that you were raised up in, but there's no scriptural support for it. So it's important that we find out and be absolutely sure and look at the scripture, not just pull one little scripture out, but make sure that you can support it with other scripture. And to substantiate that. So we spent some time looking at that, and you can certainly get that message. And then also in that message, we were also talking about maintaining a strong spirit. And we spent some time looking at that also. And we looked at Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. And it says, my son, do what? Attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them, the words, not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For, and then it says, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart, the utmost, for out of it flow the issues of life. And of course, you can go back and listen to those messages, that particular message. But one of the things that was brought out in those messages was that there are different translations that bring out guarding your heart, which I think is important. There was one particular translation that talks about guarding your heart above any substance that you have. And when I find it, I'll read it. But it says that whatever substance you have, guard it above that. And I believe there's some other translations. I think it's the Complete Jewish Bible, if I'm going by memory. It says that guard your heart with all diligence. That's the King James. But it also says that out of your heart flows the life's consequences. So it tells you above all else, everything else, guard your heart, for it's the source of life's consequences. And so you're not going to blame God. You can't blame God for your consequences. It's coming out of your own heart. You're creating the conditions, and most times we create the conditions with this little flap right here. This little rudder right here, we talking stuff. And this is the New English Bible. It says, guard your heart more than any treasure, for it is the source of all life. So whatever treasure you have, whatever you think is the utmost, you're to guard it more than that. I don't care what you can come up with. It says, guard your heart more than that. And that's what we're to do. And you can certainly feed on that. And then I believe the last message we started to touch on different, we started to talk about the covenant of healing. And we looked over in Exodus where it talks about the Lord, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And if you look up that word Lord, it just means Jehovah. I am Jehovah. And if you look up the word healeth, it says Rapha. So I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at redemption for a few moments and the types of redemption. And one of the things that it's important, and we're going to spend a few moments looking in the Old Testament, because if you can find something in the type of redemption, then what was fulfilled should be, if it was in the type, then it should be in the fulfillment, shouldn't it? Anybody there? Okay, I thought I was, I didn't know whether or not there was a blank there. So maybe we'll share that again a little more clearly. But if something is in a type, something that represents, then if there's a fulfillment to that, then we should see that in the New Testament. Correct? And so then once you're sure that was in the type, well, then when you go over to the New Testament and you say, Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, it was what? Fulfilled. So then there should be no question in someone's mind as to whether or not healing is provided. In other words, it's the will of God. If it was the will of God in the Old Testament, if you can see the type of that in the Old Testament, well, we certainly see it in the New. It was fulfilled. And so we'll spend a moment here. But one of the questions that we can ask is, and this is an important thing to consider. When we look at healing and we look at things that have been bought and paid for, I'm going to frame this in such a way that you get this. If healing is a part of what Jesus paid for, if it's been bought and paid for by Jesus, and it's for all believers, then if you affirm that, then you have to say that if you say it was fulfilled in Christ, then it's part of redemption. Correct? So it's part of redemption. Now this may, don't check out on me. You may think this is real simple, but there's a point to all of this. If it was fulfilled in Christ, then there is no blessing. There's no healing. There's no redemption. There's no prosperity outside of Christ. There is no healing. There's no blessing, no provision, no salvation outside of Christ. It was provided for through Him, through Christ. And so, because of that, no one can be healed except through Him. So, when folks say, well, and here's the point. Everything, no person in this earth can be blessed except through Christ. No blessing, no provision can come to this earth except through Christ. You just got done reading it. John 3:16 and 17. He loved the world, and he sent his son not to condemn it, did he? But he said, but through him, the world might be saved. So there is nothing that this world can be afforded except through him. And because of that, folks, you've heard this. We may even have prayed this. Well, God can do anything. God can heal him if he wants to. And if he doesn't, well, that's up to God. Well, let me ask a question. God is bound by his word. God, the Father, can't do anything apart from Jesus. Can he? There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the mediator. He's the high priest between men and God. And so no one can use that analogy that, well, God can do it if he wants to. He can, but not apart from Jesus. It has to be he's doing it because of Jesus. You understand my point? So he cannot bless, he cannot heal. So if healing, here's the other point. If healing is only for some, then that means redemption is only for some. Right? If you say, well, healing is only for some people, but not all, then you're saying that redemption is only for some and not all. But we just got done reading it is for all. So that means healing is for all. Say, healing is for all. And that means me. Because salvation is for all. See? So you cannot use that thinking. Neither, and I'm not saying you do, but people cannot use that thinking that, well, healing might not be for everybody. Because if you can show that redemption was paid by Jesus for all, and he became sin and sickness for all, then if redemption is for all, then healing is for all. And you need to be armed with that, because folks will have all kinds of things. Well, God is sovereign. He's omnipotent. He can do anything he wants to. Not outside and apart from Jesus. Can't. Because then you're saying it wasn't necessary to send Jesus. Then it wasn't necessary to send Jesus. God can just do whatever he wants to. That's not true. He sent Jesus. And he had to send him because he needed to send somebody who would be a mediator, a bridge between this broken fellowship that we had. So if God could just do anything, then he could just save people at will. He don't need us to ask. He'd just save you. But we know that's not true. And the same thing applies where healing is concerned. It is for everybody. Just as redemption is for everybody that ask and believe. It's already paid for. All you have to do is ask and receive by faith, and the power of God is released in your life to change you and to heal you. So, and as we shared in a past lesson, if you take enough, like medicine, where we were saying that the word of God is life and health to all their flesh, if you take enough of God's word long enough, like medicine, it'll change your body. It'll heal you. Change it. It'll drive sickness and disease It'll create body parts that weren't there. It'll change and grow parts that weren't there. Supernaturally. Now let's turn over to 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at this for a few moments. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Everything that God does, He has to do through Christ. It's because of the redemptive work of Christ. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Now, there are a number of translations. I'll tell you, I like the Message translation the best. You can read the others. The New Living says, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ." So whatever God promised, it's fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for His glory. I like the Message translation. It says, "Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus." I like that. That just makes it real plain, doesn't it? Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. So, God cannot circumvent Jesus. Anything, all the promises of God were fulfilled in Christ. They get stamped with the yes of Jesus. So we can just substantiate that right there. And in Acts, of course, we read this or shared it before, Acts 4:12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And of course, for you students, saved is a word in the Greek called sozo. And of course, it has a number of meanings, which of course can mean, you know, deliverance. And of course, one definition says deliverance from the penalties of the messianic judgment. And of course, it all means to heal, to make well, to restore to health. So it was a complete package. It was redeemed from destruction and condemnation and health and restoration in your body and prosperity. So we can see that. Now, one of the things, if you would, I'm going to spend a moment here. I'm going to jump ahead. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians, since you're there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 says, "Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now those who have a reference to that word "in samples," it means types. So it says, you could reread it and say, "Now all these things happened unto them for types." So these were, and samples are types, or a foreshadowing of something that was to be what? Fulfilled. Now turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 10. Excuse me. Romans chapter 10. Excuse me. And I'm just going to highlight verse 4. And the King James, it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to who? Everyone that believeth." So he was the end, he was the fulfillment. Now, when you read that in the Amplified, it says, "For Christ is the end of the law, the limit at which it ceases to be, for the law leads up to him who is the fulfillment of its types." That's what the Amplified says. He is the fulfillment of the types, and in him the purpose which it was designed to accomplish is fulfilled. So he is the fulfillment of the types. Amen. And what is a type? It represents, it's a prefigure I have in my notes here. It's to represent beforehand as a type. A type is a person or thing believed to foreshadow another, as in the New Testament. So we can see here, if it's a type and not in the plan of redemption, then the type would be misleading. Correct? So if the type is a foreshadowing and it's not in the plan of redemption, then it would be misleading. So if you can find it in the type, then it's in redemption. And if you can find it over, the point is, if you find it in the type and you don't find it in redemption as a part of the plan of redemption, then the type, the prefigure, was misleading. It was false. And we know that's not true where the scripture is concerned. So if we can find it in the type, we should be able to go over into the New Testament and find its fulfillment, correct? And then as far as that's concerned, then as far as you're concerned, if you found it in the type and it was fulfilled in Christ, all the promises of God are yea and amen. In other words, they're fulfilled in Christ. So there should be no question on someone's part as to whether it's his will or not. So then you can pray with confidence that this is the confidence that I have in him if I ask anything according to his will. So if you see it as a type and fulfilled, and you can see it in the New Testament, then you can pray with what? With confidence. And you can know that he hears you and that it's his will. And it's that type of confidence that will keep you steady in situations. So you can flat foot come up and say, "No, body, you have to change because the blood of Jesus has paid for this." And we're going to spend a moment here doing this. Now let's turn over to Exodus chapter 12 and let's spend a few moments here. Exodus chapter 12. And now we're going to look at the types of that represent healing and redemption in the plan of redemption. So now look at Exodus chapter 12 and look at starting in verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now look at verse 5. Your lamb shall be with what? Out blemish. A male of the first year. See, this is a type. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall do what? Shall kill it in the evening. Boy, isn't that something? Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood. See, they shall take of the blood. And do what? And strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins gird, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's, what? Passover. So you can see here, in this passage, they were to do what? Two things here. They were to do two things. They were to take the blood and strike on the two side posts and upper door posts of the houses. They were to do that. That was one. And what was the second thing they were to do? They were to eat the body of the lamb. They were to eat it. All of it. It says both the blood and the body. So in other words, not eat the blood, but they were to take the blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintel overhead and eat the body of the lamb. And all of it. Nothing was to remain. So this is a type of redemption. It says, and there's healing. You can see here, they ate the body of the lamb. So there's healing in the type. If there's healing in the type, then there is healing in what it portrayed, right? In what it was pointing to. What was it pointing to? What Christ was going to fulfill. So if there's healing in the type, and it was healing of what it was, in other words, that redemptive act was what it was pointing to. So even the things that were, the healings that were done in the Old Testament were done pointing to what was going to be fulfilled. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we can see here that healing and health was provided. Now, turn over to Psalm 105 for a minute. Just turn over there in the Psalm. Psalm 105. And look at verse 37. Now this was a requirement for them before they left and passed over from Egypt into the promised land. Let's look at Psalm 105 and verse 37. It said, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, you can look it up. I did. I'll share it. And just from the Greek, feeble means weak, decayed, cast down. It also means sick, impotent, without strength. And it also means sick of the palsy. So now you have this huge camp of people. And I think some of the numbers say it was between 1 and 2 million people. Not, what does it say? Not one feeble person was among their tribe. Now let's think about that a moment, just for a second. They were in bondage for how many years? 400 years. And we already, we're not going to take the time, but you can go through and look at the accounts. They had to, they were beaten. They were afflicted. Many died because of all of that. And this says here, not one feeble person among their tribes. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible that there were many feeble, sick, and maimed when they got ready to go? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But God provided in the Lamb healing. So when they ate the body of the Lamb, when they ate the Lamb, they were strengthened and healed for that deliverance. When they came out of bondage, they came out with what? Silver and gold and what? And there was not one feeble among them. Now you got to admit, they had to have been some feeble folk and some sick folk in the midst because of the bondage that they were in. Let me ask you, before you knew Christ, were you in bondage? Oh yeah. 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 So my question is, why are we holding on to stuff? We've been delivered out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Healing is yours. All you got to do is take it. It is yours. Walk in it. Pastor Clinton taught a message, trespassing sickness, trespassing forbidden. When sickness trespasses, you say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. I'm redeemed. I'm bought for. What did the blood on the doorposts and lintel? He said, the destroyer will pass over. When I see the blood. And I think this goes back to when we serve the Lord. When we truly serve Him, see, and I think Deacon Alice was touching on it from the scriptures this morning in Proverbs 16. You know, we don't like to talk about these things, and I'm not going to go there today. You can get the message from Wednesday. Because in Proverbs 16, see, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I like verse 9. See, verse 9 kind of gets close to home. It says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. See, when we serve the Lord, that means, it says, I looked up in church school this morning, I looked up that word, serve the Lord. It says, when we serve the Lord, He will bless our bread and water, remove sickness from the midst of us. It says, when you serve, that means serve as a subject. That's what that means. Serve as a subject. What does that mean? That means, what do you want me to do, Lord? Where am I going? What am I doing? See, when I do that, His thoughts will become my thoughts. And that's what it means is when I said, some of us, I've got things in our body because we're not asking Him what we should eat. I'm telling you the truth. Because I was there. I didn't ask. And sometimes I don't ask. And I'm training myself to ask because I believe if we asked, we'd get better results. We wouldn't have some of the conditions that we're dealing with because we're just eating what the world puts out there. And we sucking on stuff and eating stuff that the world's putting out there and it's got no nutritional value in it. And let me ask you a question. Does God know everything? Yeah, He does. But we don't ask. We don't ask. And so, get Wednesday's message. But the point is that when we ask and we get direction, we're going to live in the benefits of what Christ did. Amen. and he fulfilled it. And so I like the Good News translation. This is in Psalm 105:37. Listen to this. Then he led the Israelites out. They carried silver and gold, and all of them were healthy and strong. All of them. That's what the Good News translation says. All of them were healthy and strong. Well, you got to know, they were in bondage for 400 years. There were a lot of folks that weren't healthy and strong. They withered up and died because they didn't have food to eat. And they didn't have the things that they needed even to build what they were being required to build. So you can see here, even in just a church, forget about 2 million people or 1 million people, take a church of 50 or 100 or 200 or 300. Are there sick people and infirm people in those settings? Yes. Well, here we have something in the Old Testament. We have a better covenant. A better covenant. Are we any less than the Israelites who were brought out of bondage with silver and gold and strong and healthy? No. We have a better covenant. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14. So as we're sharing, if it's in the type, if we can see it in the type and we just saw it, then it has to be available in the fulfillment. And we know that it is. Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. So what is this talking about? This is talking about the healing of a leper, isn't it? He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed, what? Two birds, look at this, alive and clean, okay, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and what? Shall dip them, both the dead bird and the live bird, dip them and the living bird in what? The blood of the bird. Look at the type that's here. Type of redemption. That was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times and do what? And shall pronounce him clean. Oh my goodness. Who? Who is pronouncing who clean? The priest. The priest. The priest is pronouncing the person that needs to be cleansed as clean. And shall let the living bird what? Loose into the open field. The cedar wood is what? Jesus was nailed to the cross. The scarlet, you can look up for your own reference, Matthew 27:28, and it talks about, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And then, of course, there's another reference to scarlet wool over in Hebrews 9:19. But look at this here. If it's in the type, then it's in the fulfillment. Then it's got to be in, it's in the real thing. Meaning it's in redemption. And if it's not in the type, then it's a misrepresentation. But what are we seeing here in this particular reference here? We're seeing here that the Christ, let me just turn over to that particular scripture. Turn over to Hebrews 14 and let's look at that particular scripture. Hebrews 4:14. Who pronounced the unclean person clean? The priest. Who pronounced us clean? Jesus. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have what? A great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us do what? Hold fast our profession. Oh yes. What are we to do? Hold fast. And back up to Hebrews chapter 3 and look at verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of what? Our profession, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the high priest. And he has proclaimed us, those that have received him as Savior and Lord and healer, he has pronounced us saved. He's pronounced us healed and whole. He's pronounced us prosperous. It's already done. Amen. We're to do what? Hold fast the profession of our faith. Say what he has said. Not something different. Not what the doctor says. Say what he has pronounced. Oh my goodness. We're in Leviticus. Let's go to Leviticus 25. I can see we're going to need a little more time, but we'll wrap up quickly here. Leviticus 25 and starting in verse 8 says, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of what? Of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year. And do what? And proclaim liberty, what? Throughout all the land unto some of the inhabitants. All the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And you shall do what? Return every man unto his possession, and he shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you, and you shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall not eat the increase thereof of the field. In the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man into his possession." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus was not only our Redeemer, he was our jubilee. Our redemption returns back what was lost. What was lost? Our salvation, our fellowship with God. What that was lost. Healing was lost. Sickness and disease, what happened? Because of sin, what entered in? Death entered in. And let me ask you, what is the fruit of death? What's the fruit of death? Sickness and disease and poverty. That's the fruit of death. So if, think about this for a moment, to say that the fruit of death is acceptable is to say that that which brought death in is acceptable. Isn't that true? If somebody said, well, you know, maybe sickness is God's will, that's tantamount to saying God is saying, that's what they're saying, God is saying that the fruit of death is God's will. Isn't that what that's saying? When somebody says, well, you know, maybe it's God's will, that's saying that God is putting his blessing upon the fruit of death. Amen. That's saying that God's will is sin. And we know he hates sin. So he hates sickness. And he hates the fruit of death. Death is an evil, is the enemy of God. And so is sickness. It's the enemy of God. And so don't let people tell you it might be God's will. Please don't do that. Please don't even entertain it. God, death is the enemy of God. And the fruit of death is sickness and disease. That's an enemy of God. And so the mere fact that we don't embrace it, that we question it, we're questioning redemption. We're questioning the work of Jesus. That's not a light thing to do. Look at Luke 4 and 14. We'll just look at these two scriptures and then we'll close. Luke 4, 14. Familiar scripture. And I'll start reading for time's sake here because we're over the time. This is Jesus in the synagogue. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to" who? "The poor. He hath sent me to" do what? "Heal the brokenhearted." To do what? "To preach deliverance." I'm sorry, "to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind." To do what? "To set at liberty." Jubilee. Oh, yes. Jubilee. "To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He's talking about the year of Jubilee. Yes. When you look at it in the New International Version, it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom." I like that. "For the prisoners and recovering of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Hallelujah. And these two scriptures you're familiar with. Colossians 1:12, we shared it before. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom," in Christ, "we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And Acts 10:38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of who? The devil. For God was with him, meaning Jesus. Hallelujah. So no matter how, I like this in the New International Version, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and through him the amen is spoken by us to give glory to God. The promises of God have been stamped yes in Christ. They've been stamped by the yes of Jesus. So we have been redeemed. We've been delivered. We've been set free from sickness and disease. We have been healed. And we are to continue and hold fast the profession of the promises of God. Amen. I'm going to pick up on Wednesday with a few other types if the Lord leads. I'm finished for today, and my suggestion is to get the material and feed on it and listen to it, and don't, you know, I always say this: human nature is quick to believe negative. We're quick to believe that it must be something in me. There's something going on. I must have missed it somewhere. My suggestion is you need to seek, if you really believe that, see, if you really believe that you've missed it somewhere, then just repent. Because if you do, you're in good standing with God. He's cleansed you of all unrighteousness. You can walk in the healing. There, then at that point, there's no reason why that healing has a right to stay in your body. It does not have a right. And you have a right. See, this is what we were talking about in covenant on Wednesday, that when we do the will of God, when we're talking about covenant now, in covenant, in a covenant relationship, in that covenant, I have an obligation, and when I fulfill that obligation, the other party has an obligation to fulfill that part of the contract. So when I walk in the promises of God, when I do the things that I'm obliged to do in this covenant, God has a responsibility to fulfill his part of that covenant. And he will rebuke the devourer in you. And so don't tolerate sickness and disease. We're too complacent. You need to stand up and take what's rightfully yours and not lay down and say, well, you know, maybe my time is finished. Maybe God's done with me. Did he tell you that? If he didn't tell you that, you need to appropriate what's been paid for and walk in it. Well, let's close so we can receive communion. And remember, as you're partaking of the elements which represent the shed blood and the broken body of the Lamb. And that is health and healing to you. Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for highlighting the scriptures in the Word of God to put us in remembrance. And Father, let us walk in the light of your word. And I decree by faith that there shall not be one sick person or feeble person in this congregation. I decree it and pronounce it. I decree no sickness in this house. No feebleness in this house, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you, and we will walk in the light of your word and correct those things that you reveal to us. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.